Hey everyone, welcome back to the Dealing with Life Stuff podcast. My name is Fernando Ceballos.
And I'm Randy Strug.
And welcome to the episode.
And then rule seven, we've already talked about, pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. Anything you want to add on that one?
Have your own definition of meaningful.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because,
meaningful to me is doing what you know you need to do to accomplish the things you know you want to accomplish. And it'd be easy to cut, and don't cut corners doing it. Like, you know better. You know better. And are you going to let yourself cut corners? Because if you cut corners on one thing, how you do anything is how you do everything. Are you going to let yourself cut corners, or are you going to do the meaningful thing to get where you want
to
go?
To me, it's the things that give you purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, if you're not finding purpose in the things that you're doing, then that to me is not meaningful.
Yeah.
Because it's not driving you in the direction that you want to go. And you're just doing, being busy is not being effective.
Yes.
And I think that particular rule.
God, I know so many people who are busier than I am, but get nothing done. And it's the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. And I just feel bad for those people. I'm like, man, you have an ethic there. You have a work ethic there, but you need to apply it in the right way. And people should know better.
Well, because it's easy to do that. It's like a quick fix, right?
Right, exactly. But that's not meaningful to do the quick fix.
And that's what he's saying there, not what is expedient. And I think, sometimes you just use the simple things because, I'm getting more check marks on my to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than what is the thing that you really need to do today?
Yeah, what's the frog you need to swallow?
Right. And I think from a meaningful perspective, if you have issues being able to prioritize certain things, it doesn't mean that you need to just become more efficient to do more things done. It's, I need to become a better person who can prioritize and understand what really has to go first.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is the meaningful work. It's almost like you're taking a step back from doing the things that you're doing just to be able to understand what really needs to happen. But I think people, again, the whole idea of, I don't have time for that. I just need to get this stuff done. And to me, in order for you to be able to get more things done in the future, you need to be able to slow down today. Mm-hmm. And if this particular task is impacted and from a schedule or budget perspective, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because that means that everything else is going to be better.
Yeah. So I'll give a personal example for this. I was taking melatonin for a little bit just to help me get to bed. And I was like, you know what? This isn't the way to go. This is not the way. I was like, I know the meaningful thing for me to do would be okay, let me take time at the end of the day to figure out what stressors I have, let them go. So I've made it a habit now to where I do at least 10 minutes of yoga and meditate for at least 3 minutes every night. And I have had no problems falling asleep since then. So,
'cause it goes back to you're doing the right things.
Yeah. Even if I'm
just putting band-aids over things.
Right. It's okay, no, this is the thing. I know I need to do it. And I started doing it and it's made life easier.
Yeah. Rule number 8. Tell the truth, or at least don't lie.
Yeah. This one I feel like should be obvious, but I don't think it is. It's very easy to lie, and it's a very slippery slope. If you can lie to other people, you can lie to yourself. And if you lie to yourself, you're going to lie to other people. And it's a very dangerous road to go down, in my opinion. I see you thinking about it, so I'll fill the air here and just say for me, this has been a really important one because, for a long time, I lied to myself about, my weight when I was super fat. It was come up with this excuse, that excuse, this excuse. And I was no, I'm lying to myself. I know that I'm overweight because I am not doing the things that I know I need to do to achieve the things I want. So even back to rule 7, but I was lying to myself. And once you start telling yourself the truth, it's hard and it hurts, but that's the thing that you have to do, because that to me is a virtue, to just tell the damn truth.
Yeah. What I was thinking about was justification.
Mm.
I think you justifying so many different things is just as much as lying.
Yeah.
And I think it's so easy to start justifying, well, I didn't do this because of this, and I didn't do that because of that. And maybe it doesn't fall into the realm of excuses,
mm-hmm.
but justification is still the same way.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, you're lying to yourself because you're justifying the fact that you didn't accomplish something, you didn't do something because of XYZ.
Yeah.
And that to me is just as bad as lying to yourself. because there's things that you could definitely tell yourself and say, you know what, even though there's a justification for this, like, what could I have done differently to be able to accomplish this one thing?
Yeah.
And granted, it could have been very, very difficult, but there was something that you could have done for you to be successful or for you to accomplish this task. And I think when you're not honest with yourself and you don't dig deep to find that reason or that one thing that you could have done, like, that to itself is a lie.
Yep.
Because you start putting blame on other things and other people, and that's not going to help you, you know, achieve the things that you want to achieve in life.
Right.
And I think once you fall into a trap of justifying everything you do, you really start making that a habit.
Yes.
And it becomes, you become conditioned.
Lying becomes a habit.
Yeah.
It's a bad, bad, bad habit.
Well, it just takes you down the wrong path. Because then you start, you know, giving other people reasons for why you couldn't achieve something. And you expect them to understand that the reasons that you gave them are legitimate.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I'm going really deep here, but, or I'm going on a tangent, but I think that leads you to start to believe that other people are out to get you because they don't understand what you're going through.
Right.
And there's a difference between people not understanding what you're going through and people not agreeing with the fact that the reasons that are you put in place are legitimate. But I think you condition yourself to really believe that, you know what, maybe these reasons, these justifications are realistic, and that they're the real reason why I wasn't able to become successful. I don't know.
No, totally agree. So rule nine, assume that the person you're listening to might know something you don't. That one is a great one because it teaches you humility. Like, you don't know everything, and there is a damn good chance that the person you're talking to knows something about something you don't. So, you know, listen to them, ask questions, be interested, and you'll find that people are generally very, very interesting people if you know how to listen and find the right questions to ask them.
And the trap is where if you start to feel like you're more intelligent than they are in this particular area, you start to think that you're smarter than them, more intelligent, and everything else.
Right.
And I think, like, that's a huge disservice to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you and I are having a discussion, I'm like, you know what, Ryan doesn't really know much about this. If I start just, you know, put that blanket statement on everything that you think about and say, like, I can no longer listen to you and being able to learn from you.
Yeah, well, so we can even talk, like, so we had a political discussion right before we started recording, and I knew that Fernando was going to have a much different perspective on what we were talking about, but I could have just written it off. But I was like, no, I care about Fernando, and I want to hear his perspective, and I think we both gained a lot just from having an open chat about what we believed. And I know I changed my opinion on some stuff, and I'm hoping that
agree.
Yeah. And but that's what it means. It's like, I didn't assume to know everything and it made for a good discussion. And I feel even closer to you as a friend because we were able to have disagreements, but still be civil and like learn from each other.
I think that the tough part, it's like you go into something that believing that you're right. And I think, if you're just so caught up on the idea, like, no, I have to save face, like, I have to be right, like, that's the wrong approach.
Right.
As long as you're not compromising your, like, there's a difference between you coming from a different perspective and potentially compromising my moral ethics and, like, my own values. Like, that is a different story. Like, I don't think that's what he's trying to say in this rule. But when it comes to certain things that you, like, beliefs that we have, like, you have to be open-minded.
Yeah.
And maybe to a certain extent, like, maybe your ethics are compromised and, like, the ethics that you have to your core are wrong.
Or maybe you're living in a performative contradiction and maybe that person can see that and you can't. And maybe they can teach you that you're, or show you that, hey, you're preaching these things, but you're not acting them out. So you should reevaluate yourself.
Yeah. I think that rule goes together with the idea of, the rule number six with the whole house in order thing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you're going to go out there and tell someone, like, hey, your house is broken and it should be as broken as mine. And you just go back and forth. But anyway, I don't want to go on a tangent here for too long. But yeah, I just think, you know, being open-minded is such a huge thing. And I think it's really hard because people are just so focused on the idea that I have to be right and you're wrong.
Yeah, and you have to keep your emotions in check too, especially when there are disagreements. Because
that's tough, man.
It's really hard. It is really, really hard. And, like, I always try to remember, like, no, like, we're friends. Like, this is a conversation. Yeah. This is just a dialogue. Yeah. We're gonna pursue the Socratic method, and we're gonna figure this shit out.
And it's it's just crazy to me how you don't see that
mm-hmm.
throughout this country.
Yeah, like, especially on, like, the social medias. Like, they're awful. They're awful. It's like, hey, I said this thing, and it's suddenly like, you're a monster. Like, go to hell. Like, it's like, whoa. Whoa, what happened?
Well, we start attacking the character, mm-hmm. right? And we think...
Yeah, ad hominem attacks.
So it goes back to rule number 7. Pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient.
Yeah.
What is meaningful about this conversation that we're having?
Yeah.
The topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
What's expedient? Me attacking your character.
Right.
If I can discredit you for being a shitty person,
mm-hmm.
then that means that everything you're talking about could be right, but it's going to be wrong because you're a shitty person.
Right.
And to me, like, again, it goes back to... We have to be able to be open-minded with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's plenty of opportunities for you and I to get a little bit heated yeah. earlier this morning. But I think, again, you respect me enough to be able to have a conversation with me. And I appreciate your patience, right? Because, yeah. like, I can admit that there's things that you know more of because you put in the work to learn those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very easy for you to bulldoze me on certain some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're open-minded enough to know the difference between saying, you know what, let me just win this argument with Fernando because I know more,
mm-hmm.
rather than being open to the idea of, you know what, let me listen to what he has to say,
right?
Because it's different.
And I feel the same way about you. And it's like, you have a much different life experience than I do. So your opinion is just as valid as mine. And I think it's for us to get together, put those opinions together and derive what is factual about those or what in common is about those. And then we can agree to disagree on things, but let's find out where that common ground is. But you can't have that if you're just going to assume that, like, I'm right, you're wrong. It doesn't
happen. Because to me, like, we're on the same team.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you may be playing offense and I play defense,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, we're both trying to win.
Right.
And I think if you start to sabotage, if you were playing offense, you start throwing a bunch of interceptions or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever the case is, like, to make my team lose, like, you're losing too, right?
Right.
And I think... so many people forget that mm-hmm. we're all on the same team and we're trying to get to the same place.
Yeah, conversation is not a competition. It's a cooperative game. And the goal of the game is to play the game more, is to keep playing the game. It's not to win the game, it's to keep playing the game.
Yeah. So rule number 10, be precise in your speech.
Yes. This one, I value this one very highly, and I've really... worked to implement this more in my life, especially this year, because like being in the role that at least that I'm in real estate, there are a lot of people who just bullshit all the time. And it's really easy to just let yourself fall into that crowd and just like start spouting off these aphorisms that are just, you know, ridiculous, even if you don't think about them or they're not totally in line with what you think. And it's really important to think about the words you're going to use in the context that this is what I truly believe, and this is how I want it to be expressed to this person in the context of this conversation.
And I think we both did that earlier this morning.
Yeah.
And the thing that we were talking about, because we were very intentional with, okay, what about this particular word? Like, what is the definition of this word?
Yeah.
And I think, again, we can both be thoughtful enough to have a conversation to be able to say, okay, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, we're not, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we get so caught up on the idea, like, you know what? You make a blanket statement. I make a blanket statement. And you put your definitions on that statement itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that completely compromises the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah. And I think in retrospect, like, most of our conversation was establishing definitions.
Yeah.
And like, now I think we both have a better understanding of what those definitions mean to not only ourselves, but to each other too. And that allowed us to have a more fruitful conversation.
And it also helps us being able to see, like, from the other perspective.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to have a dialogue with someone else who thinks somewhat similar to me,
mm-hmm.
you can understand how they're going to become defensive
mm-hmm.
because of, like, what you said. And it's the same thing for me.
Right.
Right. If I have a conversation with someone that thinks from your perspective,
mm-hmm.
and I start using my own... not that I'm changing my definition,
right?
But the meaning that I have to this word
mm-hmm.
can be different. We're never going to be able to, you know, push past the fact that we have different perspectives on this particular word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to be able to understand that whenever we have discussions with other people, we have to first establish what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Understand what we're trying to say,
mm-hmm.
agree to that, and then have a discourse.
Right.
Because the feelings and the emotions that we have with people, to words, are very, very important. And I think people who are more, there's a left brain and right brain, right?
Yeah.
People who are right brain people, like, they're very focused on, like, the definition of it. And, like, you can't put emotions to it because it's, this is a definition. This is a dictionary, what it says. And yes, but to a certain extent, like, we have to remember that there is emotions attached to certain things. So, again, we're going on a tangent here, but the fact that we need to be precise in our speech is very, very important, because if we just start changing stuff to fit our own needs, like, that's not helping your discussion.
Right. So there's a, I'm sure some of you have heard of it, but a segment on YouTube that I really like, it's from Steven Crowder, but it's the Change My Mind series. And he always starts it out by like, okay, well, this is the debt. Like I watched one yesterday where it was socialism is evil. Change my mind. And every person he sat down with, he's like, all right, well, let's establish what I mean by socialism. Let's establish what I mean by evil. And let's find out where we agree on what those definitions are before we even continue the conversation. And I was like, wow, that's super great. I definitely love that series specifically because it teaches you a good way of how to have conversations with people, in my opinion.
I mean, I see that at work too. Not the socialistic part.
Right.
But like in my friendships and in everything I do, like a lot of the issues that we have are broken communication. And it's broken communication because of the assumptions that we're making.
Oh, yeah.
And we start to believe that, you know what, I'm going to assume this of this person, and they're saying this particular word, and these are the intentions and feelings that they had behind using that particular word. And to them, like, they could just use a different, you know, word for the sake of using that in a conversation.
Oh, yeah. I want to add one more thing to this, to that point. But I worked at 42 Real Estate, Scott Rohrman, and I'm forever grateful to him for this. He taught me how to communicate very clearly. Because I would write emails and he'd call me into his office and he's like,
what are you trying to say here?
Yeah, what are you saying here? And he's like, so you should have said it like this if that's what you're trying to get across. Do you see? And he would ask me like, do you see why? And like he would sit down and talk with me and be like, well, I was like, oh, yeah. And I've taken that and run with it ever since. And I would say I'm a very good communicator, especially over email when I have time to think about what I'm trying to say. And I have never had any issues with, like, email communication ever since then.
Yeah. That's very important.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We'll catch you next week.